I love snow days. I really do love them. I look forward to them all year long. If you've ever been with me on the hills at Battery Park, you know that I've bought sleds. Like, I've texted out, like, we've made plans for this day. And the funny thing about it is, you never know when it's coming, but you know it's coming, right? Like, you don't know when you're going to get to use the sled. You don't know when you're going to get to go be out there, but you know at some point in Richmond, Virginia, you're probably going to get one or two snows that are worth going out and playing in. And they're fun for me. I enjoy the time with my kids. I enjoy the time with kids in this church. I enjoy they're folks that I see once a year, right, on these snow days, right? And they come out of their house, and I meet them and talk to them, hey, how's your year been, you know? And it's a whole lot of fun. So imagine this morning how I felt when I woke up and now let me tell you the miracle. I was excited. I really wanted to be here this afternoon. Amen. Like, I really, really wanted to be here this afternoon. And I was when I looked out and I saw there wasn't snow, I was like, there was, like, last time in December, I was excited about the snow on Sunday. I'll be honest. This time I was like, yes, we get to have church today. And then I realized, like, oh, I gotta preach. And I was like, that was okay, because I actually had something to say. So this is in a sense kind of a life message. And so I could say it from different verses, and we're gonna look at this, but there's something here I really want to say to us today as a church. I got to spend time in the end of December meeting with all the Northside group leaders and different Bible study group leaders, and just talked and hear, like, hey, how are things going? How is the fall? How are things going? And so I feel like at the end of that week, I had about as good a picture of what's going on in this church as I could ever, as I'll have, right? And that information is old now. But at that moment, I had as good a picture as I could have. And so there's some things here that I want to talk about for us as a church. And so we're going to get a little practical at one point. And so, but I think we need that. And I think you need that. If you're here and you're a member of this church, I think there's some things we need to talk about and some things we need to process through together. But we're going to get there from the Word of God, okay? And so I want you to turn with me to Matthew 13, picking up in verses 44 to 46. Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46. Let me pray, and then let's read this passage. Father, we're expectant to hear from you. And God, we're praying and asking that you, by your Spirit, would grant great grace to us in these next 30 minutes, that we could hear from you, that we could, Lord, that all the other distractions could fade away right now, that all the other things that are on our mind and heart, Lord, that we'd see those things through your Word. And so would you focus us in, dial us in now to hear from you, Lord? We know that only happens by your Spirit, and that's why we're praying for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew 13, verse 44. Matthew 13, 44. I just know it by memory, so I don't have it in the Bible. But the kingdom of heaven is a treasure hidden in a field, right? Yes. It's a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Something close? Okay. And then the next part is the parable, the great pearl, goes right with it. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Okay, one main point is being made here by two different stories. So two different stories, one main point. Did you hear it? Listen to the first parable again. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Well, just a little bit of back cultural background here. Why would a treasure be hidden in a field? We don't do that today, right? Very often. Or here in the United States, we don't do that very often. Well, they didn't have banks or safety deposits and spots. And so sometimes people wouldn't keep their treasure in their home for fear of it being stolen or taken in some way. And so they'd hide it somewhere and often in a field, like under that tree that only they knew where they hid it is where they would put it. And so sometimes if someone went on a journey or maybe went off to war and somehow the land changed hands, you might all of a sudden discover a treasure hidden in a field, right? Like you didn't know it, but under this tree a couple hundred years ago, somebody had buried something that was really valuable. And now if that was your field, it was your treasure. So there's a treasure hidden in a field. And so that was what they're talking about here. I want you to think about this for a moment. Imagine you are out taking your neighborhood walk and you walk by one of your friend's houses and it's a Saturday morning and they're out on their front yard. And you realize, and they've got all of their stuff out on their front yard and they're doing a big sale. And you begin to realize, hey, there's a lot of stuff they're selling. Like their couches out there, like this is knickknacks, you know, their TV is out there, their couch is out there, all of their kitchen appliances are out there. And you begin to go like, hey, what's going on? Like, are you moving? Like, where are you? What is going on here? And in between all the sales they're making, because they're just trying to get rid of everything really cheaply, they tell you, hey, I'm selling everything I own. I'm actually going to sell this house too, the car there. All of this is for sale because I'm going to buy that field over there. And you would look at your friend, right, and go, hey, wait a second. What are you doing? Like, what's so great about that field? Like, you're selling your car. Is that field going to be your transportation? Like, you're selling your house. Are you going to just sleep in that field? Don't sell that couch. Like, that's a great couch. We've had good times on that couch. Don't sell that painting. It's worth far more than you're going to be able to get for it here and there. You'd probably be arguing with your friend trying to understand why they were doing what they were doing. And at some level, you might get to a certain point and you go, hey, my friend needs to be restrained right now. There's something psychologically that's off. And before they go and make more decisions that are just going to be foolish, I need to help them. Or maybe there's something you don't understand about that field, right? Maybe they're not. Maybe they haven't lost their mind. Maybe they're not psychologically in trouble. Maybe there's something about what they're doing that actually makes sense. Friends, you got to realize how odd this parable here is, right? That's what's going on here. See, your friend in that scenario, if they know there's something in the field that's worth more than everything else they have, they know they could sell everything they have and still get a good deal, right? And not have ultimately lost. It's like they're paying for a McDonald's hamburger and they're going to get a Ruth's Chris steak, right? You know, and they know that, but maybe you don't see it. It's the immense value of the treasure in the field enables them to sell everything they have with a smile on their face, right? Even if you look at them incredibly concerned, they might be grinning ear to ear. And Jesus is trying to drive home a single point here. Do you see it? That ordinary-looking field has a great treasure in it. The kingdom of heaven is of ultimate value, and it's worth giving up everything in order to possess it. The kingdom of heaven is of ultimate value, and it's worth giving up everything to possess it. That point is driven home in the second parable, verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. So this parable focuses on a pearl merchant. I don't know any pearl merchants. But this guy, apparently, this was his livelihood. His livelihood, he knew everything about pearls. His livelihood was staked on him knowing good pearls from bad pearls. If any of you have a pearl guy, I'd love to know about it. But this is a pearl guy, right? This is what he did all the time. And so this pearl merchant spends his life looking at pearls. And in this parable, what happens is he comes across one that is of such great value that he can then get rid of all the other pearls, all the other stuff that he has to go to sell everything to get that one pearl. He knows how valuable that one pearl is, and it's valuable enough to get rid of all the other pearls, to get rid of all the other things that he has to get rid of. And so the point, he acts decisively and went and sold everything he owned in order to possess the pearl. It must have been some kind of pearl, right? He knew the pearl's value. It was worth sacrificing all that he had. And the price wasn't too much to pay for the pearl. Here's Jesus' point driven home in another parable. The kingdom of heaven is of ultimate value and is worth giving up everything in order to possess it. The kingdom of heaven is of ultimate value and is worth giving up everything in order to possess it. Friends, can we talk for a minute? Here's what I want to say. We, as Christians, as a church, we need God to continue to mature us in a lot of ways. But one of the ways I think he needs to continue to mature us is that we properly assign value to things. That we grow in how we assign value to things. How we think about the word evaluate. What it has in the middle of it, value, right? Here's the thing, you are constantly evaluating. You're always assigning value to something. Think about this, kids, as you're going through the line at school and maybe you're getting food, you're evaluating. Do I want chicken or do I want fish? Do I want tater tots or do I want green beans? You're assigning value to certain things and then getting them or not getting them. As you're scrolling through Netflix, you know what you're doing? You're evaluating, right? Do I value this documentary more than I value this comedy or vice versa? Which one is worth my time right now? As you're going through life, assigning value to things and then making decisions in light of that. This activity, I think, is more valuable right now than this one. Therefore, I'm going to choose to do it. This soda, this cherry lemon sun drop is better than all others. Therefore, I'm going to drink it. I value this concert enough to spend $10 on it, and I'll go to it if it's close, but I don't value it enough to pay $80 and drive to Charlottesville for it. Do you recognize how you're walking through life constantly making value decisions, constantly evaluating things, and then making decisions in light of the value that you assign to those things? Does that make sense? Well, you're constantly doing it. We're always doing it. We're always assigning value to things and then making decisions in light of how we value such things. So here's the question. Do you know what you value? Do you know what you value? I want to give you some questions to think about this for a minute. What do you think about frequently? On a snow day like today, like you kind of wake up and you didn't potentially have to be somewhere. Where did your mind go? What was it you were thinking about? What are the things that when you're in the shower, when you're in the car, when like nothing else is pressing in, what are the things that you think about a lot? That might help you figure out some of the things that you value. What do you talk about frequently? This would be something, if you have a good friend, you should ask your good friend, hey, what do you think I value? Because if they're a good friend and they've heard you talk, they know what you value. They might give you, if they're willing to give you some honest feedback, they say, well, I think you'd want to value this. And here's some of the things I think you actually value. And it's probably some mix of those things, right? What is it you take risks for? What is it you'd be willing to push the envelope for? What is it that if you lost it, it would feel like death to you? What is it that you value? Do you trust your ability to assign value? Do you think you have the right eye for how to trust and value? It's part of what you want in a good basketball coach, right? You want a good evaluator of talent, somebody who sees somebody play and then says, hey, I want to offer this guy a scholarship. I don't care if nobody else has offered him a scholarship. I know what I saw. I know how to evaluate talent. And this is what VCU does a lot, right? They have to find the diamonds in the rough. And so we got to trust that the coach is evaluating talent properly. How well do you evaluate the things of the world? Let's say you're looking for an apartment in the north side of Richmond. And let's say you walk into this place and it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. It's new in almost, it's been redone in almost every way. And you find yourself, there's a pool, there's a tennis court, there's a space and place for kids to play. There's a little dog park. There's all of this stuff, and this place, it's clean, it smells new, it's nice, and you need a place to stay. And at the end of the tour, you're like, man, this place is great. And they tell you, it's yours for $600 a month. What do you do at that moment? You sign on the dotted line, right? Yeah, you say, yes, I'm in. You're not waiting for somebody else to come and get the apartment, right? Because you've properly evaluated that in the north side of Richmond in 2018, that type of apartment is worth how much? Way more than 600, right? I mean, 1,300, 1,500, more, you know. So you know, here's the thing. You've been calibrated to rental prices in the north side of Richmond, right? You know that $600 is a deal and that you should sign on for it. You're properly evaluating that situation. Here's the thing. If you're in San Francisco, it's a whole different calibration, right, of rental properties. Or if it's 50 years ago, is $600 the right price for that property? No, it's way too much, right? Or if you're in a rural place in Virginia, is it such a great deal? It's probably a little less of a deal, right? I mean, there's something about, but you've been calibrated to the north side of Richmond, and in 2018, you know what apartments are worth. And you know that $600 is a great deal for that kind of apartment. Friends, here's the thing. We've got to calibrate ourselves not to rental prices in a given area in a given period of time, but we've got to calibrate ourselves to the kingdom of God. We've got to know it so well that when we walk into situations and we see something, we are calibrated to say, hey, this is kingdom stuff. This is good stuff. This is right stuff. I don't have to wait on my friends to post about this to try and figure out whether this is good or bad, or should I like this or not like this? But I'm so calibrated to the kingdom of God. I'm so calibrated to God's word that as I walk through life, I'm able to apply value to things. I'm able to make decisions and apply value to different things. Ah, that's kind of cool, but it's not worth that much to me. Oh man, somebody wants to go to church and learn about Jesus? I'll drop everything for that, right? I mean, those are values, decisions that we're constantly making. And learning to assign value is something you grow in. It's not something you didn't automatically know what rental prices in the north side should be. You had to go visit a few. You had to look online a little bit. You had to learn a little bit before you could really understand what the values are. And so we need, as a body, to grow in calibrating ourselves to the kingdom of God. How do we do that, friends? Well, the thing I want to hold out to you this afternoon, it's bigger than this. But it definitely includes this. I want to hold out the word of God to you. I want to hold out you as a Christian reading your Bible. I want to hold out to you, you as a Christian soaking in the words of Scripture. I want to hold out to you, you as a Christian memorizing the word of God. You as a Christian praying the word of God. You as a Christian speaking the word of God to your friends and having them speak it back to you, that we would constantly be calibrating ourselves, reminding ourselves, growing in this sense of, oh yeah, what is God's kingdom about? What is God about? What is it that he wants me to do? What is it that he values and therefore I should value? What are the things that he doesn't value and therefore I shouldn't value? Friends, I want to hold out the word of God to you today. And I just want to ask you this. As the year starts, there's a lot of great opportunities to spend time, to think about a Bible reading plan, to think about how it is that you want to do it. And we're not going to throw out, like, hey, you got to do it this way, or you got to do it that way, or you got to do it for this amount of time, or you got to do it for that amount of word of time. Like, but I don't want to be so scared to be legalistic to not say, hey, friends, the word of God is for us. It is for our good. And so we're meant to be here on Sundays, hearing it read, hearing it read and preached, soaking in this word, and also to be in other spaces, including your own personal time of having a plan. How am I going to read the word? How am I going to soak myself in the word? How am I going to memorize the word? How am I going to meditate on the word of God? And so, my friends, my question for you as we begin 2019, as you get going in this, is what's your plan for soaking in the word of God? What's your plan for recalibrating the things that God's values? How will you know what he values? How will you know what's important apart from his word? Friends, here's the thing. The world is coming after you in every way. And if you don't realize this, then you're not paying attention. Here's the thing. We don't watch TV a whole lot as a family that has commercials. But when we do, we have this practice of if you got enticed by a commercial, right? Because here's what commercials are doing. They are trying to get you to value something, right? They got 30 seconds to get you to value this thing that they're trying to get you in on, be it an experience, a thing want you to buy, something they want you to do. They want you, right? At the end of it, they're wanting to have impacted you. And so in our family, we say this. It would say, ooh, that one got me. Like at the end of the commercial, it's like most commercials, I'm not paying attention to at all. I could care less, right? I just, a commercial, I'm zoning it out. And then every once in a while, I was like, ooh. Like you just sort of recognize at the end of 30 seconds, they got me on that one. Like I'm kind of interested in going to Puerto now, you know, like, or whatever it is, right? Just being honest with myself. And we try and be honest with each other, like, ooh, that one got me. Like, I recognize what's happening right now. I'm not asleep to what's happening. They're trying to influence me, trying to get me to value something. And then I've got to be honest that sometimes it works, right? And if you don't recognize, if you never know that you're got, right? They're getting you all the time. If you don't know that you're got, you're got. And you need to recognize what's getting you, right? Where is the world getting its hooks into you and saying, hey, this is what you should value. You know, value this. You need this amount of money because you need this kind of car, because you need this kind of clothing, because you need this kind of trips, because you need this kind of whatever it is. You need these kind of relationships, right? You need these kind of friends who do these kind of things in these kind of ways. And the question is, how do we discern from what the world is telling us from what God actually values? And the answer I give back to you is in part through his word. It's not only that, but that as a central piece of the diet that you're meant to calibrate towards, that you're meant to pay attention to, that you're meant to soak in, so that you can properly value the things of this world. And so friends, the things are screaming at you all the time. Learning to assign right value is incredibly important. So this one of the things that I want to do this year is like I want to get back into my scripture memory cards. You know, I was just thinking like God gave me a season where I got to learn a lot of scripture, and like I've been negligent in that in some significant ways. And so, in God's grace, He put that on my heart this year and like picked it up. And I didn't know I was preaching today, right? But one of the things was to go over scriptures about the Word of God. And so, can I just give you a few of them? Yeah. You know, I mean, just a few. These are ones that I wrote down. I wrote the date on them of when I first learned them and memorized them. And so this is Hebrews 4:12. Anybody know it? You're going to say it with me if you know it. For the word of God is living and active, than any double-edged sword, it penetrates the spirit and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You might have a different version. A lot of stuff I did was NIV or NAS or then early ESV. But friends, that Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God judges us. We don't judge it, right? That we sit under it, not over it. 2 Timothy 3:16, anybody know it? All scripture is God-breathed and is teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness for the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Good job, good job. Psalm 119, 162. This one was cool to me. I'd forgotten it. It's easy. You can pick it up too. It says, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. Psalm 119, 162. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so those were a few that I was just meditating on and sort of going over this past week as I processed through that, not knowing I was going to get to preach today or talk to you today, but just this conviction, like, God, help me meditate on your word more and more and more. Make me a preacher that has the word of God, chapter and verse, on my lips all the time. And so I hold that out. That's what God's put on my heart. So what's he put on your heart? I sat there at the end of December and went, man, we got to get the word of God into our people more. We have got to know the Bible more. We've got to soak in it more. We've got to value it more than we value all these other things. And that doesn't mean we don't do all these other things. But it just means that we have a proper perspective on what is important. Friends, if you assign value rightly, a lot of things will be helpful. Not everything, but... If you misassign value, we can go ahead and there's a lot of things that'll happen, right? If you value money over all else, there'll be tremendous consequences on your life, right? You'll stay at work later, and your kids will eventually won't wait at the door anymore. Teenagers, young people, listen to me. If you value your friend's opinion more than you value your word, you'll do some stuff that you wouldn't have otherwise done. Because you valued other folks' opinion more than you valued God's word. And all adults in the room know that it's not only teenagers and young people that struggle with valuing other people's opinion more than God's word, right? Can I get an amen there? Friends, we need to grow in our ability to assign value. As I close here, I just want to say this. Jesus is pretty clear here in this passage, right? What's the cost of the kingdom? What does it cost to follow God? Everything. It's everything, right? It costs everything. If you're here and you haven't repented and believed yet, you haven't trusted in Jesus yet, then this is a good time to just sit here and go, they're talking about all this stuff. What is it to actually follow Jesus? What does that cost me? Is it just a little tweak here or there? And we would just hold out to you. We'd want clarity for you. It's not just a little tweak here or there, that the cost is actually tremendous. It's more than you can possibly imagine. It's everything in your life. And when you submit to Jesus in repentance and faith, you actually don't know all that it's going to cost you yet. It's like the one big yes that then leads you down this rabbit hole that you're like, oh my goodness, oh, this too, I guess. You know, and then now this too, and this too. And so we don't want to fudge around it at all and sort of make it sound like, hey, just follow Jesus. It's so easy. We want to be very clear that his call is everything. It's not just a small change to your life. And at the exact same time, we want to say he calls for everything. And with a smile on our face, say, and he promises so much more. That what he grants is so much greater. That how could you possibly say, hey, I'd be willing to give up everything in my life for anything? And what we'd say as Christians, what we'd say that the Bible holds out to us is that God calls for everything and he promises so much more. That he promises repentance, as we repent and believe, we receive forgiveness of our sins. that we receive life with God for eternity. Amen. And this is a quality of life that begins now. That doesn't mean that you get everything you want to get, but that God is with you. That in the midst of the struggles and the pain, that Psalm 23 is true for you, that he's with you even in the valley of the shadow of the death, and that one day you get to experience none of the death, amen, none of the shadows, amen, all of the good stuff forever and ever and ever. Let me ask you this. How much would you pay for life with the life that never ended and that was always good? How much would that cost? Like, what would the valuation of that be? You know, what would you say? Well, you know, if we were doing an auction and everybody who had all the money in the world was throwing up their, you know, it's like, all right, I see $1 million, 2 million. All right, we're up to 10 billion, 20 billion, 30 billion. How much would that cost? What would the value of life that lasted forever and always good be? It would, like, there's not enough money in the world, right? So to properly value what God offers is to step back and say, I see that. It's a promise of him for the forgiveness of my sins now, life with the Spirit coming into my life now. I'm no longer alone. Even in all of the difficulties and trials, given me a new family, a new spirit inside of me. I'm walking through even the difficult things with him, and then life with him. Forever and ever 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 and ever. Right? No sin. Revelation 21. No more crying. Every tear wiped away. None of the bad stuff. All of the good stuff. Friends, can you see it? Can you value it rightly? Is your heart moved at all there? To go, this is the kingdom of God. This is what's worth selling everything else for. I'll move for this or I won't move for this. I'll give my resources for this or I won't give my resources. I'll give my time. I'll give my treasure. I'll give my talents. I'll give everything I've got because I rightly value the kingdom of God. Friends, on the front of your bulletin, there's a quote there, and I'll remind you that Ecclesiastes 2, we read, and the guy, he talked about all this stuff, and then he says it's all vanity, right? C.S. Lewis says it this way. It's on the front of your bulletin. It says, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased, says C.S. Lewis. Friends, good news. There's something worth selling everything to possess. And the offer is on the table for you to possess it. It can be yours. The kingdom of God can be yours. A relationship with the God of the universe can be yours. Friends, I invite you to repent of your sins, to trust in Jesus as your Savior, and then to join with his church, power of his Spirit, under the authority of his word, soaking in it, in community, and then seeking to take steps day by day by day to rightly value the things of this world. So, friends, I'm excited I got to be here this afternoon to tell you about the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, I just want to begin by repentance and just acknowledge that, Lord, there are things that I value that, Lord, pleasure and comfort and, Lord, that I value more than I value your kingdom. And there are things that, Lord, have sapped time and energy and resources for me and for my family that were just a result of valuing things that weren't important. And, God, I pray for my friends in this room. Lord, I pray for myself and for us, Lord, that we would, by your Spirit, properly value the things of this world. Lord, help us sort through our days. Help us, Lord, help us know our own hearts. Help us discern what is going on inside of us. And Lord, calibrate us, not to this world, not to the north side of 2018. God, calibrate us to your eternal kingdom, your everlasting kingdom, the kingdom that will not fail. And so, God, I pray that you would calibrate us to eternity, that we would rightly value the things of you. And God, that we would repent early and often, that we would repent quickly. And God, that we would turn to you over and over again, that we would truly see you and experience you at some level as the pearl of great price, as the treasure hidden in the field. And Lord, would we with joy on our faces hold out this offer to others? And would many come join us in valuing this pearl, in valuing this treasure, in valuing you above all others? Lord, would we look incredibly odd and strange to our neighbors and friends because our value system is different? Lord, we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, as a custom, we're going to take a moment and prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper.